Hey, you guys, Jinji here. Just wanted to mention real quick before the episode kicks off, we have had some episode delay issues. It's hard to explain, but for the most part, I believe I have gotten that settled. I got the episode audio back and not corrupted anymore. So please enjoy the episode of Pixels, and I will see you beautiful people on Wednesday to watch live. Bye-bye. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode Meryl of Pixels, or aka Adolescent Boss Mouse.
Wow.
Is that better?
Adolescent Boss Mouse.
Adolescent Boss Mouse. Because Azumarill is amazing. Also, I am your host, Jinji. With me is Senor Odin.
Oh, man.
Okay, you know what? We'll come back to you. We'll let you have a second to muster up some energy for that usual intro. We have DJ.
I am Blue Horse.
I'm a horse. Nay, motherfucker. We also have Dom.
Hello, everyone. My nickname is Domaldo. Happy to be here.
All right. I did not introduce you to him before. We have Odin.
What's going on, everybody?
Get the words out.
It's your boy Odin here, back at it again with another lovely episode of Pixels, Polygons, and Fun. How y'all doing today?
Bruh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, how are y'all doing? Guys, before we kick off the show, just wanted to let you guys know we took a little bit of a Pixels vacation, so hopefully you guys have enjoyed the past 2 weeks. So we're back. We'll be back on our normal weekly schedule. So how are you guys doing?
Yeah, you know, this and that.
This and
it's
that.
Not one thing, it's another.
Tiresome. I am trying to get my driver's license.
Ooh.
Apparently the course is going to take me one week, but the whole shebang, like waiting for the bureaucracy to work, might take me a year. So huzzah!
That long for a driver's license?
I mean, it could take like a month. It can take like a year after taking the course.
Holy shit.
Shit world country, my friend.
Wow.
I mean, at least here you get a paper one.
Do you not get, like, a temporary paper one, like DJ just said, Don?
I have no idea, but I bet that if there is, it'll cost, like, around half minimum wage, if not more. Because
damn,
that's what they want to do here.
I'm sorry to hear, Don.
And also, I probably need glasses. My measurements have gone so up that I almost failed the test. The entry test.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they're fucking expensive, so it's like, shit, where the fuck am I gonna get, like, again, like, half minimum wage to pay for them, just the crystals of the glasses, not even, like, the frame.
Dude, I'm so sorry.
It's fine. Yeah. It's Such is life. Oh, and I finished Elden Ring. That's on my end. How about you, DJ? What have you been doing?
Oh, we're not in that part yet.
Okay. Getting ahead of myself. It's been a while. I'm sorry.
Okay, cool. Well, I guess with that being said, we'll go ahead and cut it here. Not cut it here. Gotta make that phone call. See, it's been a minute. I'm getting back into the swing of things. We'll be right back.
Yes, I see. Good news, everyone.
All right. Welcome to the news. Got some stuff to talk about for this week. To update everyone in the Pokemon Go sphere, because there has been quite a lot. Currently now, we have the Pokemon Go X Pokemon Air Adventures event. It will last until May 8th, and it features various bonds like Charizard, Balloon Pikachu, Mantine, Wingull, Drifloon as featureable spawns, and all of those Pokemon can be encountered shiny. The biggest thing out of this event is that we now have Mega Legendary Raids, which prior to this, the highest level raid was Mega Raid and Level 5 Raids. And both Mega and Level 5 are Level 5. But Mega Legendary Raids are now 6 stars. And I can tell y'all right now, I have done my fair share of Legendary Mega Raids. They are hard. You cannot, and I've done this with experimentation, you cannot beat these Pokemon with less than 7 people. And even then, when I did a group of multiple raids of 7 people, we were only just able to beat it because we used the right counters. And the 2 Pokemon that are in the Mega Legendary Raids right now are Latios and Latios, with both of their Megas debuting in the game. If you capture Latios in this time frame, you get a Latios that knows Mist Ball. And when you capture Latios, you get a Latios that knows Luster Purge. And of course, their shinies are also unlocked via this event as well. So yeah, fun stuff. It's insanely hard. Good luck. And then they revamp the whole Mega system. It's a lot to get into. But it's very welcoming. And then what is the other thing? Here we go. They did announce, Niantic announced more details for Pokemon Go Fest this year. It will be June 4th and 5th. We don't know all of the spawns, at least at the moment. However, I can tell you guys that right now we will have 2 days of GoFest this year. Let's see. Here we go. Found it. In each hour, and GoFest will be split up into hour sections like previous GoFest. We'll have City Hour, Plains, Rainforest, Tundra. And with ticket holders this time, the mythical Pokemon for GoFest this year is going to be Landform Shaymin. And don't know if that will include Skyform. We'll have to see. For the city spawns, we will have Magnemite, Alolan Grimer, Hitmon, Chan, Baltoy, Burmy, Pidove, Trubbish. I'm going to hunt for that shiny Trubbish. And then Galarian Weezing. And the Pokemon that I will be labeling or speaking out, they will be encountered as shiny, so I don't have to go through that again. So I'll also be hunting for a Alolan Weezing. Or no, Galarian Weezing. I'm so sorry. What am I thinking? And Plains, we have Girafarig, Larvitar, Numel, which is a new shiny debut. Trapinch, Buizel, which is a new shiny. We have Patrat, Shelmet, which is a new one. Litleo, Dunsparce, Rufflet, and Axew, which is a debut shiny. Rainforest, we have Mudkip, Seedot, Shroomish, which is a new, which is a shiny debut, Slakoth, Turtwig, Chimchar, and Karrablast, which is also debut shiny. And then for Tundra, we have Ammonite, Swinub, Wingull, Metatite, Wailmer, Sveal, Piplup, Cubchoo, and Galarian Darumaka. We will also have Graysadia, Flower Pikachu, that can also be encountered as shiny. We will evidently be getting a Photoshop surprise. No idea what Pokemon that's going to be. And then we will have a day two as well. We don't have too many details on that, but we will also have unknown spawning as well. Obviously, unknown can be found shiny. It is rather unfortunate, although DJ is going to like this part. Boosted instant spawn, Galarian Mr. Mime is one of them.
Enjoy your shiny rhyme hunting.
I will not. I will run away from it, sir.
You're a shiny hunter. You're required.
Dude, just one quick question. How the fuck do you get a shiny Trubbish? What is it, like trash made out of aluminum and maybe some discarded things that are shiny and chrome? Well, like, what the fuck does that look like?
Who knows? But it's also noteworthy, we don't have too many details on day two of GoFest, except for all of the spawns from day one is going to be available for day two. But as of note, boosted incense spawn, at least for day two, I'll go back and double check for day one. Torkoal and Tropius are going to be in the incense spawns, and those are regional exclusives. So for us in the United States, it's going to be the only time we're going to be able to get these two. Yeah. I will be doing my best to get both of them, especially Tropius. Tropius has been really good Pokemon in the PvP section. But that's I'm looking at day one. Looks like the only Pokemon that has a boosted incense spawn is Klink. So, you know, go get your shiny gears. So, yeah, Tropius and Torkoal are going to be available on boosted spawns on day two of GoFest. So that's June 4th and 5th. I will be talking more about that closer to it. Let's see if there are any other noteworthy updates in the Pokemon sphere. I think that's it. So, DJ, do you have anything?
Yes, I do have some actual news, and then I'll do
actual news.
I'll do Dokkan news. First off, this is a few days old now, but this is coming from IGN. We have the Embracer Group enters agreement to acquire Eidos, Crystal Dynamics, and Square Enix Montreal.
Ooh.
So Square is selling off these companies to the Embracer Group, which, for those who don't know, is kind of a mixed entertainment company. They own such corporations as Dark Horse Comics, Ghost Ship Games, Gearbox, THQ Nordic, and Saber Interactive, as well as many others. And they are currently talking with Square to purchase Crystal Dynamics, the makers of the Avengers game and a few other games, Eidos Montreal, and Square Enix Montreal, including their catalog of IPs, which include the Tomb Raider series, Deus Ex, Thief, Legacy of Kain, and more than 50 backlog catalog games from the Square Enix holdings, all for $300 million.
Wow.
Which comparatively is rather cheap.
Yeah, and that's surprising. Do we know why Square Enix decided to sell off their IP?
It doesn't say.
So I don't think they're going under. I think they're still in a good.
No, but they have made some poor decisions over the past couple of years. One thing that has rubbed people the wrong way is that they have been on the NFT bandwagon. At least in support. I have not heard of them putting them in games yet, but they have been in support of looking into that technology.
Technology.
And then there was the whole issue of Marvel's Avengers in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, that was bad. How's Guardians doing, though? I heard Guardians.
I've heard Guardians was pretty good. It was almost nominated for Game of the Year, and a lot of people were in support of it. But of course, game of the year pretty much went to It Takes Two almost all across the board.
Okay, It Takes Two. That was a good game.
Let's see. Is there anything interesting? Anything else interesting in the article? It says they'll also be acquiring all the employees. That's roughly 1,100 employees across the three studios and 8 global locations. So at least people are getting to keep their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And this would also include Crystal Dynamics' new Tomb Raider game, which was recently announced to be using the Unreal Engine 5. So that'll be something, because that'll no longer be a Square property. That'll be their own IP to go about Tomb Raider, but which is probably for the better, because I don't know if anyone here is familiar with, but Square has some very high margins for success. Like, I think it's like if a game doesn't make like 600, I forget how, it has a very high bar of being considered a success, and if it doesn't meet that exact bar, it's considered a flop in their eyes.
Huh.
EC would do more than that.
They can be very peculiar. So it's probably better for some of these companies to go with another company that can allow them to make their IPs, since Square is kind of odd these days. But we'll have to see what they make. It also states in the article, Crystal Dynamics, of course, behind Marvel's Avengers, and has recently been helping Microsoft's The Initiative develop the Perfect Dark game. Not like the Perfect Dark, but like the series Perfect Dark.
Yeah.
Eidos Montreal is the studio behind Thief 4, Deus Ex Human Revolution, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, and more. And Square Enix Montreal is the ones behind the mobile games. Hitman Go, Tomb Raider Go, and Deus Ex Go.
There's a Deus Ex Go?
Apparently there was. I'm not sure if it's still on. But
I had no idea. So, I guess I'll look real quick.
So we're just gonna have to see what comes from them. I'm expecting. I liked the first Tomb Raider. I never got around to playing the sequel, so.
I see it. It's $5.99.
Oof! Purchase entry.
No, thank you. Lara Croft, go there. It is. Huh. Interesting.
So, moving on into Dokkan news, I'm adding that into my thing, since you do the Pokemon Go stuff. Dokkan is currently celebrating Golden Week on both JP and Global, releasing its characters simultaneously, which is a rare thing. We currently have the new Gohan and Goku card, which pretty decent unit. I've heard the Gohan form is much better, but it can be a little difficult to get out. And the new Imperfect Cell, which transforms turn by turn into Perfect Cell, is apparently the best Android leader currently. So that's pretty good. And also had some side banner units, with the Super Saiyan Vegeta having one of the best animations I've ever seen.
Which Vegeta is it?
It's the Vegeta that does the... you probably know it better in a bridge. The Vegeta, yes, against Cell.
Yeah,
he kills Trunks.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And the other side banner unit is Android 18 and 16. I've heard they're fairly mid, not the best. And just this past week, we had the EZA drop for the STR Ultimate Gohan, that's several years old at this point. Turned out pretty good. He's pretty good on defense now. And currently, the only thing upcoming is there's another Strike card getting an EZA, which is the STR base form Trunks. That's getting an EZA, so be on the lookout for that. Other than that, doesn't look like there's anything new yet coming down the pipeline, other than some new stages being added to Extreme and Normal Super Battle Road. To keep an eye on things for now. It's probably going to be pretty fairly quiet as JP edges closer to the release of the movie and Global's getting closer to the anniversary. So probably not too many units left until then.
Gotcha. Still waiting super impatiently for the new, or for the next Dragon Ball Legends story update.
Oh, that'll probably be pushed back by the movie, too.
Right.
Since that's releasing next month in Japan.
Alright. Dom, do you have any news?
Something simple. From PC Gamer by Andy Chalk, a new Mafia game is reportedly in development under new studio leadership. 2K Games announced today that Hangar 13 boss Hayden Blackman has left the studio. No, that's, yeah. 2K Games confirmed today that Hayden Blackman, the longtime president and chief creative officer of Mafia Studio Hangar 13, is leaving the company. Word of Blackman's departure comes alongside a Kotaku report saying that a new Mafia game is now in the early stages of development. And quote, it's with mixed emotions that I share with you several leadership updates from Hangar 13, end quotes, 2K wrote in an internal memo shared with PC Gamer. Quote, Hayden Blackman is stepping down as studio head of Hangar 13 and is leaving the company to pursue his passion as a new endeavor. We are grateful for Hayden's leadership establishing Hangar 13, building and uniting teams in Novato, Brighton, and SEC, and releasing multiple studio-defining Mafia games and collections. What Hayden helped build will continue to carry forward and grow for more years to come. We all support our employees pursuing their passions, and we wish nothing but the best for him in what's next, end quote. Blackman will be replaced by Nick Baines, who joined Hangar 13 in 2018 to establish and lead the studio's Brighton office. Quote, I hope you'll join me in thanking Hayden and wishing him the best, and congratulating Nick on a well-deserved promotion. While change can be challenging, it can also breed new opportunities and success, 2K wrote. We are very confident the studio's been in great hands, leading into the multiple projects currently underway, and the team has 2K's full support, end quote. Blackman isn't the only Hangar 13 executive to depart the studio in recent days. Chief Operating Officer Matthew Urban has also moved on, according to his LinkedIn page, which indicates that he ended his time at the studio sometime in May of 2022. Quote, what an amazing ride at H13, Urban wrote on his site. Let's see what is next. It's been a rough and a half decade for Hangar 13. And after launching the decidedly not great Mafia 3 in 2016, the studio underwent significant layoffs in 2018. Had a multiplayer superhero game canceled after spending $53 million on multiple iterations over years of development. While the Kotaku report only cites one source familiar with the plans, a return to Mafia makes sense. Mafia 3 didn't impress, but there was real enthusiasm for Mafia Definitive Edition, released in 2020, which has a very positive ranking across more than 35,000 users and reviews on Steam. The new game is reportedly a prequel to the Mafia trilogy and will ditch the Mafia 3 engine in favor of Unreal Engine 5. 2K Games declined to comment on the Kotaku report. So yeah. Apparently we might be getting a prequel Mafia on the new Unreal Engine, so that's interesting. But it is a little concerning that so many people are kind of leaving. Maybe it's for the best, though.
Damn, we'll have to wait and see. I haven't really played any of those games in that series. I may try to.
They have their charm. They're interesting. I've seen some gameplay of it. Myself, personally, I haven't really touched them either.
All right, then I guess we'll go ahead and hop into the next segment if y'all are ready, or if you have any other final bits of news.
No, I'm good.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
We'll move on. All right, you guys, and welcome back to the next segment where we will talk about the games we have been playing. And since it's been about 2 weeks, I'm hoping this will be a decent-sized segment. Dom, we'll start with you. What games have you been playing?
No, the ring.
What is this Elden Ring? What is it about?
No, I've been, sorry, I'm cutting you off.
How dare you?
I'm very sorry. I'm sorry.
Are you sorry, though?
Yes, genuinely. I have so many complexes. Anyway, I've been playing Elden Ring to the point that I finally finished it. I finally, decided on an ending. Holy fuck, the last boss is so annoying. I basically dedicated the better time of my gaming to try to get that thing done. Mm-hmm. And then delay it even further because, holy shit, I just felt so emotional with the game that I didn't know what to do after it was done. So I didn't, choose an ending until, after. And also been, grinding a little bit away at Mordhau because I really love the pain of that game. It's so skillful. It makes you feel so good when you do good, but so bad when you do bad. I was a little bit into a couple indie games that I decided to play around with. Mm-hmm. Sword, because I thought it was really fucking funny and I wanted to figure out what the achievements were. Lobotomy Corporation, which is this mindfuck of a game that is like a resource management, but utilizing something akin to SCPs. And then the Wonder Song game, a really fun little game about a little bard that has to sing his way to save the universe. Super cute.
Cool.
Those are my lately are my experiences.
Gotcha. All right. Odin, games have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Fire Red Extended. It's a ROM hack.
Go ahead. I was just about to ask what's different about this one. I know you probably explained it to me, but for the listeners.
So basically it's created by a guy named DJ Tarma. And there's a few other people too who have been working on it. But it's basically Pokemon Fire Red, but with generations 1 through 8 Pokemon, including alternate variants of Pokemon, like regional variants and Hisuian Pokemon as well.
Mm-hmm.
All the maps have been completely reworked, and they look different. Like all the routes look different. The cities look different. Him and his team have really put in a lot of good work to this. There is no Mega Evolution. There is no Dynamaxing or Gigantamaxing. There's no Z moves. Let's see here. There is no Dex Nav. I know a lot of people really love Dex Nav. But the way he has the engine for the Pokemon on the routes is that everybody has an equal chance of being seen on a route or encountered. If there are a few Pokemon that have a slight lower chance, but that's not always the case. Has reusable TMs. There's all the standard HM. Field moves that you do have to teach your Pokemon to use, but there are additional field moves that you can use. So, for an example, every so often on your routes and stuff, you'll see these little sprouts on the ground, and there's a ledge next to it. Generally, if you use the move Growth on it, it'll grow the stalk, and you can climb up the stalk to get to, yeah. Everything in the game looks amazing. It has fairy typing, physical special split. There is an experience share implemented later on, after a certain point in the game that you can get to. You don't get it right away because it would make the game way too easy. the gym leaders and like the Pokemon trainers, everybody and their teams have been completely reworked. Most of the gym leaders have 4+ Pokemon, and it is significantly more difficult than what Fire Red was, and it is really good. Honestly, this game is insane. It has a 1 in 250 shiny odds. So if you want to start off your game with a shiny starter, it is very, very possible. It did take me about 3 days to do mine, but that was also inconsistent soft resets. And I didn't do it all day, every day. So if you really think about it, time-wise that I spent doing it, less than 24 hours of soft resetting to get a shiny Charmander, and it even has its hidden ability.
Solar power?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Pokemon in the wild can have either any of their normal abilities or their hidden abilities. This game is really good. Like, him and his team did such a crazy good job on this. They do have a Discord. But if you go to the Pokemon community website, or you just type in Pokemon Fire Red Extended, there you'll be able to find it. The team is very, very quick to putting out updates and stuff to games for bug fixes and everything. And you'll be able to find all those updates and get notifications on it through their Discord channel. Their team is very active as well. So if you like message in their Discord and ask questions and whatnot, they'll gladly help you out, kind of give you some advice and whatnot. And he even has like a suggestion channel inside of his inside their Discord that you can like make suggestions to them for the game. But it's really good. I'm still in the beginning. Like, I just got to Cerulean City. And just got done talking to Bill. So it's really, really good. It's graphically, it is spectacular. It truly is.
Well, hell yeah.
Yeah. That's all I've been doing.
All right. DJ, what have you been doing?
Well, for those following the streams, as you should, we are currently in the middle of our Kingdom Hearts retrospective, celebrating 20 years of Kingdom Hearts. And we've, for the past few weeks, we've been going through Kingdom Hearts Final Mix, the original game, refinished. And it's been a lot of fun. There's definitely some harder parts, and some of the gameplay hasn't aged as well, especially since it was refined in the later titles, but it's a lot of fun in the end game where you're able to just start hunting materials and stuff and doing farming. As of earlier today, we are finally in the end of the world area, the last world. Nearly reaching the finale, and we're only a few materials shy of getting the ultimate weapon, so that'll be fun.
Nice. Are you planning on getting the Ultima weapon before you do the final boss?
I'm going to try for it. The hard part is just getting all the materials necessary, because it might end up being a lot more farming than expected, but that's what I want to try to do, is have the Ultima weapon in time. Especially since it's proud mode.
Gotcha.
But, other than that, I mean, it's been a while, so Headfarker and I, we're doing some Satisfactory. We've taken a bit of a break at the moment. We're supposedly a new update is supposed to be coming out soon, so we might end up waiting to when that drops to see what happens to our progress and all that. But on that, I've just been doing a lot of Dokkan, farming up in-game currency and stuff. I've gotten almost all of the units that can EZA to EZA now, so that's nice, having a lot of those finally finished out since all of them are available. The auto mode definitely helps with the grinding. I wish the auto for that, but it's not. still. It's going pretty well on Dokkan. Just, sadly, I only pulled one of the new units. I pulled the Goku and Gohan card. I didn't get the Cell.
Is it worth to try to summon for this Cell or save my stones for...
Considering you don't put money into the game that often, I would save your stones and definitely aim for Gogeta. Because Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta is still the best unit on JP right now.
I can't wait.
Because he's freaking broken as all heck.
Damn straight he is.
Because he's Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta. Let's see. Have I played anything else? Well, I guess I've done some Master Duel. I built a Toon deck.
That's fun. Nice, and how's that going?
I've basically given up on ranked. I'm getting tired of all the meta decks. I'd rather just play with other people. The issue that comes with that is you can't make any more cards because you don't get the currency. Kind of sucks. I'm still missing a lot of the important cards. Like, I have no Called by the Graves, so...
Yeah, I feel you there. Speaking of Yu-Gi-Oh, I got three of the Albaz Trike structure deck. I'm looking forward to building an Albaz build. That or even that, the new set came out in Yu-Gi-Oh, the Ghost Collection.
Yeah, I saw about that. I haven't looked in to see what's in that set though. I don't think it's probably anything that would draw me to it. But.
Well, we are getting more support for the Angels. You know, like Hyperion, if you remember him. Looks like we're getting a reprint of Quintet Magician, another reprint of Dark Magician, the Dragon Knight. Some Vision Heroes. What else? I'm going through the quick list here, DJ, to see if anything noteworthy pops up. It looks like an ultra rare rarity of a Doppel Warrior. If that perks up Odin's attention.
You said an ultra rare variant?
Yeah, of Doppel Warrior.
Is that new? Like it has never been ultra? Because I think I own the supers.
I don't know if it's ever been...
Actually, hold on. Give me a second.
Let me go get it.
Okay. Looks like Ghost Tricks are getting different rarities. Which I'm still planning on making a Ghost Trick deck for the Missus. Let's see.
This team has way too many rarities. Just stop it. Get some help.
Get some help. What? Why is this one getting an ultra rarity? You remember what? Sandwich? The fusion between Witch of the Black Forest and fucking Sengen? Why is that getting him?
Because fuck you, then.
Dude. Hell yeah. Who remembers Neos Wiseman and how he is such a shitty card because you can't bring him out? Or you can, but it's convoluted?
Oh,
we are finally getting Neos Kluger.
Oh, wow. Also, I have
Neos Wingman back or whatever it was.
No, that'll be in the next set. But Neos Kluger is the fusion between Neos and Yubel. And then with Kluger, you're able to bring out Neos Wiseman, which is a main deck monster.
Yeah. Also, I have the super rares of the Doppel Warriors. And so if they're coming out with ultras, then they got to get that. Ooh. Ooh. Did you guys see the field center card that I got?
Which one?
No.
The what?
Welcome to Yu-Gi-Oh! Variety Hour.
Yeah.
I don't have a facepalm thing, so just...
What?
I'll do this.
Why?
Bruh.
It's completely, like, it's safe. There's nothing on it.
No, but everyone knows what it's from.
Oh, I definitely know what it's from.
Sorry, I wasn't looking at the camera. What'd you?
Oh.
Milk, chocolate, or...
Yeah.
Love that. Looks really good.
Oh, it is pretty.
I know. Come on.
Hawk is my favorite.
They have a ghost rare of my boy, the Eye of Tamias. Oh, come on.
And by the way, Gingy, the card I was referring to, I don't think has been announced in the next Elemental Heroes set.
What card?
The fusion of Neos and Hummingbird.
Air Neos?
Yeah, Air Neos.
Yeah, Air Neos is an old one.
Yeah, but have you noticed? It's I've been falling down this rabbit hole. It's never been reprinted.
Nope, never.
No, it has not.
Not even once.
That is a very expensive card. It's not even in Master Duel.
Nope.
That it is, and I can proudly say I do have an original rarity copy of Air Neos.
I believe there was a rare version and an ultimate.
Let's find out.
That's over 10 years ago now since that had that printing.
There is, in fact, a ultimate rare. It's just ultra rare and ultimate rare. The ultimate rarity of Air Neos is $400.
Yeah. It's an expensive.
No one knows why it won't be reprinted.
But, yeah, I guess minus Yu-Gi-Oh! I've been playing a little bit myself, you know, doing some Master Duel, very, very small work in there. I mean, like I said, I bought the All Bad Structure deck, so I'm going to be making a build on that to see how that works. Last week, I was on vacation. I was on a boat. I can confirm for science that Pokemon Go does, in fact, work in the middle of the ocean. Although nothing shows up, obviously. Nothing spawns because you're in water. The only way I got a spawn to work is that I wasted a incense on it. But, yeah, caught some regional Pokemon. Because, you know, we were down in Mexico. So I caught a couple of Maractuses. So that was a fun time. I played a bit of Battle Network 5 Team Protoman just for shits and giggles, you know, to eat up time during travel. I will be replaying through Double Team DS, and I wanted to start a copy of Double Team DS with Base Cross Mega Man, and the way that you can do that for Double Team DS is having a GBA copy of either BN5 Team Colonel or Team Protoman. And you have to have the base symbol for the Game Boy Advance copy, meaning you have to beat base in the Nebula area. And as soon as you beat that, you have the GBA 5 copy in the GBA slot, the DS. You boot up Double Team DS, and depending on which version you pick, you will automatically get Base Cross. So I've been working on that. And also ahead, because I know I've been streaming the Battle Network series of Mega Man. I streamed earlier today as of recording, continuing on with BN3. Inevitably, once I get to BN5, I have it set with the cartridge, assuming if we go with Team Colonel. And if we don't do Team Colonel, I can do it with Protoman, but I wanted to start that gameplay with Base Cross for the stream to make it fun. And using the GBA operator thing, my epilogue GBA operator, I was able to upload a save to BN5 to start off with Base Cross. So I got that all ready, assuming if we do Colonel. And to be honest, I would really like to, but as I said... when we wrapped up BN2, that I would leave it up to the stream to vote once we get to that spot. Once I finish BN3 Blue, we will be moving on to BN4, so we will either pick Red Sun or Blue Moon. I'm hoping you guys will choose Red Sun, because there are better double souls in that game versus Blue Moon. in my opinion, but everyone has their option. I've also been playing Dragalia Lost quite a lot, because the game will be shutting down at some point in the very near future, as soon as they wrap up the story. And I have finished all of the campaign for Dragalia Lost leading up to where it stopped for now. Because as soon as I beat the story for the game, I'm just going to delete it. I'm not going to wait until the shutdown. Because, I mean, I just want to beat the story, and that's it. I want to see how it concludes. I've also started picking up Jurassic World Alive again. Because, you know, it's been a hot minute since I last played that, and over the past couple of days, I've been picking that up again. I've also been playing Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. You know, more mobile games. You know, just starting to get back into that. I've also played Dokkan. I did, for my Switch, pick up a copy of Switch Sports. Because I was grocery shopping at Walmart, and I just happened to go through the electronics section like I normally do. And I saw that they had one copy left of the game, so I figured, you know, fuck it, why not pick it up?
Ew, buying games at Walmart? What are you, a normie?
Ha. Yeah, I am. Don't mock me. Hopefully, in the very near future, I won't buy it now. Unless if it's gifted to me. But Sniper Elite 5 is apparently coming out this month that I would like to get my hands on for Steam. So we shall...
I'm waiting here. I'll be on Humble Bundle.
Yeah, probably will. I think that's it. I guess I did dragged out my VR headset out of storage. So, you know, in the next couple of days, I'll be playing some VR because it's been a hot minute. I think that about covers it. So we'll hop into the topic. We'll be right back. All right, you guys, welcome back to the topic of the show. The topic for this week actually is a really good one. Dom came up with it. So Dom, what are we talking about this week?
We are talking about DLCs, specifically upcoming DLCs that we either know about, the games that are currently the norm right now, or DLCs that we hope would come out for the games that we're playing or that we have our eyes set on the horizon. So yeah, that's kind of the idea. And as you know, that's who I am. As much as I love things, there's a lot of speculation about DLCs regarding Elden Ring, because, you know, it's a game that is like super, super packed with lore and stuff, but it's always like lore that is super hidden away. So there's no quick way of knowing about things. You need to literally go across the entire map to understand what's going on. And even people who have scoured everything have like, oh, there's these things missing. There's like, we don't know where the runes of these demigods are. We don't know what happened to this thing. There's these areas that are still completely inaccessible, no matter what. So, like, there's a lot of speculation about new DLCs. Like, one, like, it seems like they might be adding, like, an arena thing for, like, PvP, or maybe a new DLC that will add new great runes and new, like, demigods to fight. Or not, maybe not exactly demigods, but new bosses that have, like, runes and stuff. Like, the great runes and stuff. So I'm excited for that. I am excited. I finished Elden Ring. I want more. I will pay so much for more content from that amazing game. All right. Go, DJ. Odin, let's go.
Go.
Legends Arceus DLC.
Oh, can't wait. Should be
probably
a thing. You don't think so?
No.
Not likely.
Two words. Scarlet, Violet.
True. Yep. I'll give you that one.
I could see maybe one final update, but probably isn't going to do much.
Yeah. As far as DLC goes,
I don't really play a whole lot of games for DLC with DLCs because Minecraft isn't really DLC, it's just updates. And, well, the DLC that I want to have happen for Sword and Shield will not happen because of, well, Scarlet and Violet. So.
I mean, have you guys seen the supposed leak with Scarlet and Violet that the one Anchor Shark beta Pokemon from Gold and Silver is apparently making it in?
Well, if it's not Gorochu, I don't care. no, I didn't. I actually did not see that leak. I've kind of been staying away from a lot of the leaks for Scarlet and Violet. Not that, like, if someone talked about it, I'd get angry. I definitely wouldn't, because that's still pretty cool stuff. It's still Pokemon, and I enjoy literally almost everything Pokemon-related. I really do. I can't get away from it.
True. I mean, and I've seen some screenshots. So, I mean, if you would like to see it, Odin, I can post it. If not...
Yeah, I'll definitely see it. Send it to me.
Okay. I'll post it, and,
Honestly, I don't really want to get into the leaks because I'm almost certain all of them. There's going to be that one that everyone's going to be talking about. I was like, the leaks were true. The leaks were true. Come next month. But I'm just looking at this like, guys, why? Why are you caring about these leaks that may not exist? It's Cypher, I see you in the chat, Cypher. We already know Hisuian Zoroark is in Scarlet and Violet. That's actual gameplay. There's no point in taking any of the leaks legitimately.
Yeah, that's also the reason why I just tend to like try to stay away from it, because I'm just like, eh.
Because also, you don't want to build up false hope for something that may just be a rumor that someone really desperately wants to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like giving Odin the reins to set a rumor, and it's just all about Gorochu being in the game.
Yep, I'll do it. Don't put it past me. Hey guys, did you know that in Scarlet and Violet, Gorochu just might make an appearance?
You heard it here first, folks.
I'm calling it Gorochu right now. Given the region that they're in, I wouldn't put it past them to put something spicy in there.
I mean, you want spicy, check your Facebook, Odin.
Oh, yeah, I should probably check that.
I'm taking it with a big-ass grain of salt. I don't think that's the thing, but I would be pleasantly surprised.
I can see it happening. The biggest thing is that, like, I don't know. We're getting off topic, though. Like,
yeah, regardless. We'll save this for the potential bullshit if we get onto it, but to answer Dom's question, I think depending on the context for the situation, I think DLC is fantastic. I mean, granted, on one hand, some content that should have been in the base game needs to fucking be there, not behind a fucking paywall.
Yeah.
But, like, the DLC example... right. The first example that comes to mind for me, I'm going to bring it up again, Gears of War 3, mm-hmm. and DLC that's titled ROM Shadow, and that essentially is like a prequel for Gears that brings up during E-Day, which is an event in Gears of War that started with the Locust Horde busting up through the ground and killing, if I remember correctly, at least half of the human population. In the first week or so, like, just absolute massacring everyone. And you play as General Rom, and he's the first big bad guy in Gears of War 1. And you get to play as him, and he has a lot of powers that controls creatures. And overall, just playing that DLC was so fun, being able to play as the bad guys killing the humans. It's fantastic. And that makes me even think back to Beast Mode in Gears 3 moving forward. You get to play as different locust creatures. But anyway, getting off topic again a little bit. But in that case, he didn't need the DLC ROM Shadow to experience the story of Gears 3. You didn't need it. It's purely extra content that you can enjoy. And in that regard, it's phenomenal. It got people back into Gears of War 3. It just added to the value, in my opinion.
I'm a really huge fan of DLC that matters. So, like, if you're going to put a DLC out, I really hate it when it's something super little with very, like, minimal new things, and then let alone having to go and pay for that.
Like, something that is, like, probably, like, cosmetics, maybe a side quest that doesn't, like, that is so isolated that it doesn't do jack fucking shit with the main story or with the main world.
Yeah. I do think, so, honestly, there's a lot of games I'm not a really huge fan of DLCs for. I'm really not. I actually really hate Call of Duty DLCs. I really do.
All of them?
I'm not a fan of DLCs for first-person shooter FPS games.
I mean, come on. You didn't like the drill sergeant voiceover from Ghost?
I mean, that could have just been something you could just...
It could have been an update.
An update. New content. It's not pay-to-win stuff. It's more like vanity, and I get that people need to make money. I really get that, but game companies used to make money all the time with their games before DLCs were a thing because the games were good.
You didn't have expansions.
Not all the games.
No, not all of them, but they were a thing.
Yeah, well, it's just like... It was Pokemon, for an example, none of their games up to Gen 5 had any DLCs. Gen 6 introduced updates for fixes because it was on a console and on a system that would support it.
Right.
And we didn't start actually getting DLCs for Pokemon until Sword and Shield. Their original way of doing DLCs for Pokemon was, okay, so we have these two versions. Let's either, one, remake all of them with an updated system. So how, for example, Ruby Sapphire, okay, Pokemon Emerald. Emerald was a remake, an updated remake of Ruby and Sapphire. And then you had, you know, so like Diamond and Pearl, and then there's Platinum. They didn't have DLCs. It was, let's create a new game, and that would generate revenue. I do like the concept of DLCs, but I feel like, I don't know, I don't know if I really have like a real good... I don't know what I'm really trying to say, honestly. I just...
What exactly would... what set of parameters would say this is a good DLC? Because you've, like, maybe seen so many different types of DLCs that you would say, like, it really just depends on...
I really have, like, played a lot of games, like, a different types of DLCs. And every single game that I have played so far has put out at least one... pitiful DLC that felt like I didn't need to spend as much money on it as I did. I think Destiny and Destiny 2, Destiny 2, I think was the main like game that really killed DLCs for me, because throughout the beginning of Destiny 2's life, the DLCs that they were putting out were just awful. Like they introduced some new content, but it was also really piss poor.
and didn't really do a lot to anything. Now they're doing a little bit better job, and I appreciate it, but DLCs are great if you're actually providing the amount of content that you content worth that you are that the DLC is being sold for. But I definitely do think that game developers and stuff, people who are doing that, if it's not something that like is more on the lines of like a vanity aspect, maybe you just shouldn't be charging for it. If it's like massive like new areas to go and explore, then I get it because you are now putting out more story that actually has content inside of it.
Right.
So Sword and Shield did good, you know. Isle of Armor, Crown Tundra, two DLCs that I would gladly pay over and over again for each version.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, like they did great. They put out really good content inside of there. Their only downfall was that there was no actual national decks, and I think that that is where they fell short. Because the game, for what it was capable of being, they didn't let it flourish. And that to me was upsetting.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I really genuinely do think that if the Pokemon company wants to put out another mainline Pokemon game again, which they're going to, Scarlet and Violet, the national deck needs to be a thing.
Right.
It needs to be a thing. You can't pick and choose like that when almost every single Pokemon game has had mainline Pokemon game has had a national dex up to the generation that they were at.
Although from the sound of it, that's going to be the way things are, because from what they've been saying about Scarlet and Violet in their pre-release material is it's still not going to have the national dex.
That's some bullshit.
It might just be something we have to get used to. You know, and have the national dex is Pokemon Home.
Yeah, and even then, you can't really interact with your Pokemon in Pokemon Home. I mean, if they have like mini games that you can do, then I would be more acceptable of it. Because, hey, I can still interact with these Pokemon. Not like, oh, I'm just looking at them. And that's all that we can do. I don't know. I mean, yes, I would love the national decks to come back, but I'm not going to get worked up again and get upset knowing certain Pokemon are going to be cut. I will say, though, please let Oshawott be in the game. Although, he got his attention in Legends Arceus, so again, I can't complain. But, yeah. I mean, I'm all
for it. That's the only place that you got it, though.
Yeah, so in all fairness, probably won't see him in Sword and Shield.
No.
Or in Sword and Shield, fucking Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah. I honestly, my biggest frustration was I couldn't bring over a Froakie. I fucking love Froakie as a starter. I mostly because I like Greninja. I like shiny Greninja a lot. And I would have really loved to be able to play as Protean with a Protean Greninja that was shiny. I really would have. But I couldn't. So DLCs can make or break a game. They really can. Especially when they stray from the norm of how Pokemon, of how the games were originally.
And to pull in Cypher's comment, skins are also good DLC in my opinion that helps breathe in more life to a game. I mean, yeah, you don't need to buy skins at all to enjoy the game. The skins aren't pay to win. Like, I can appreciate skins.
Yeah. I like skins. I like having... I am definitely a person who loves cosmetics. Vanity items can also make or break a game. I definitely do. I will spend a lot of money on vanity stuff.
Right.
I think that'd be really interesting if the Pokemon games on the Switch did that.
Like, as far as, like, DLCs to, like, buy trainer outfits and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Really cool. Genuinely do.
All right. Do we have any final thoughts?
One of the things I think where DLC shines the best, I would have to say, is fighting games.
Okay.
Oh, for sure.
Although I know some can go overboard. I've heard some say Street Fighter sometimes goes a little bit overboard with their DLCs. But I look at a game like Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2. It's still getting DLCs, and that game came out in, what, 2015? Still got more DLC launching this year.
Xenoverse 2 came out in 2015? That doesn't sound right.
It was around...
Pretty sure Xenoverse 2 came out in... Yep, that makes sense.
I looked it up.
God, I'm old.
October 8th, 2016 was when Xenoverse 2 released, and we're about to get another DLC with Ultra Instinct Sign Goku.
Nice.
And it's had a ton of DLCs. We've had so many characters added, still more to come from the sound of it. They still want to keep on rolling in this one. And then, of course, you have Fighters. Fighters alone.
Yeah, that game.
Characters it's had. Yeah, Arc Systems just puts in the work for those characters. The Super Saiyan for Gogeta is magnificent. Mwah! Chef's geese! Those animations. What other ones have had some good DLC? I know back in the day on the 360, everyone loved the new map packs for Halo 3.
Yes, sir.
Those were always a big thing. I'm not big into the Civ series, but it's had plenty of DLCs with each of its games. Can't say what they are, though, because like I said, I don't play it. No, it's hard to talk about DLCs, honestly, this is because a lot of the games I play are ones that are updating or still trying to release. So it's like, you can't really do DLC yet. And
for a lot of
games that are still in development, I don't want to hear about DLC because that means you're not working on the game. You're working on stuff to sell me after the game comes out.
No. I'm just a firm believer that a DLC should not make a game better. The game itself should already be good. The DLC should just be like icing on the cake. Like, you shouldn't rely on DLCs to make your game better.
You're not wrong.
Look at it at a different way. You could have a great game and then the DLC makes it better. But not in the sense that the game wasn't already good in the first place. It's just that the DLC adds a lot more. Like, my example with Elden Ring, the game is already fantastic. It's phenomenal. It is like a super complete game in terms of gameplay. And the story does get concluded in a satisfying way, or in a way in which you just fuck everybody over, depending on what kind of bastard you are. But in terms of DLC, they could just add a lot more to the game, and it would still, like, the games won't stop being a great game, and the DLC just makes it even better, you know? Yeah. And that is also very much acceptable in my eyes.
Fair.
The problem is, like, I think people might be ill-accustomed to the idea that if you don't have the DLCs, you don't have the full game.
Exactly.
That's the problem. So, like, people don't want DLCs because they feel like the DLC will take away from the game because they're dividing the game content into extra packages to pay for. But there are some good things out there, like fucking God of War. And like I said, Elden Ring. Like, there's, like, some good gems out there that don't require 20 DLCs to make the game complete. Like, for example, gameplay, Payday 2. Payday 2 is a great game. But if you don't have most of the DLCs, you're gonna get bored very quickly. The DLCs add the story to the game. Yeah, but it's still like it's a great game. But you know, you do need the DLCs for it to be like on par with expectations nowadays, which I guess would be like a problem. But it's what kept the game alive. So I don't know. I'm biased on that end, but I do understand that Payday 2 without DLCs is not the same experience. It's not as great. It's very lacking.
Did anyone play the Doom Eternal DLC?
I don't have Doom Eternal, so I have no idea. But I do remember that, like, there might have been a DLC. A very hard DLC.
Yeah, there was some post-game expansion DLC. That was like the purpose of the season pass or whatever. I didn't get around to it. I think Headfricker played it. I think it was too difficult even for her. But I still heard people saying it was a good expansion on basically what was a very fun arcade game. what are some other ones? You already mentioned COD. COD goes. What about the Borderlands DLCs?
I have not played a lot of Borderlands to make a comment on that.
I haven't either.
Know some Borderlands people. I've tried getting into it, but I always fall out. I don't know. It's something about Borderlands wants to draw me in, but I can't get in. That makes sense.
No, that entirely does. It's like a similar way with me in Animal Crossing. Like, I'll play it a lot for a couple of days, and then I'll not touch it at all for a couple of months, and then I'm back into it again.
Oh, one of my favorite DLCs, Batman Arkham Knight. That one had a great DLC that I finally got to play in last year's Batmon. What was that one called? It had a few of them, but specifically...
Did you play around like Nightwing, Red Robin, and like Jason Todd, or...?
They had their own little things, but no, that's not the one I enjoyed the most. I know it has a name here. Wasn't it a DLC? Could have sworn it was basically an expansion on the story as a secondary. It's a secondary story pack where Batman essentially, it's the culmination of Mr. Freeze's storyline through the Arkham games, and it's incredibly bittersweet and definitely one of the better Mr. Freeze storylines. A little spoiler here for you. Mr. Freeze, once again, Nora Freeze gets stolen.
As you do.
But this time, by the time Batman gets to her, she's been unfrozen.
Oh.
And so when she's rescued finally, Batman says he'll get her to freeze, and he calls up Freeze on his holographic gauntlet, as Batman does, and we see Nora telling Victor, Mr. Freeze, that she doesn't want to go back in the ice. That even though she now only has a few days left to live because of her disease, she just wants to be alive because she doesn't want Victor doing these criminal acts anymore. And it really is just the culmination of the love story, because by the time they beat the bad guys and Nora and Victor are reunited, and Nora is firm on her decision to stay alive, Victor decides to, Mr. Freeze decides to remove his armor. And for those that don't know, if he goes without his armor, he's going to die because he can't survive the heat. So he and Nora go off on their own to live their final days together.
Damn.
Wow.
It's really just bittersweet, and Batman just leaves them to it. He doesn't say goodbye. They have no final closing words. He just leaves this couple to make their life. And it's just peak Mr. Freeze to it.
Huh. All right. On that lovable note, let us know what you think of DLCs. If you have any opinions that you would like to share, you know, you can always email the show at ppandfpodcast@gmail.com. We also have a voicemail line for those of you who are interested. Let me pull up the number for you. The number for the Pixels voicemail line is 402-370-6355. So with that being said, we're going to hop into the bullshit. We'll be right back.
What's up, guys? Do you enjoy podcasts like us? Have you ever wanted to start one of your own? Are you too scared to start one? Well, to be honest, we were scared in the very beginning before we started Pixels, but luckily we found Buzzsprout.
Buzzsprout is one of the easiest ways to start a podcast. They're a dedicated team driven to help your podcast succeed. Their website is very simple to use and gives you stats on your show. It's amazing. They put your podcast on all the different podcast players like Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and more.
Exactly. And we love Buzzsprout so much, we recently became an affiliate. Start your own podcast using our special link, which will be in the show description. Today, and after upgrading to any service plan, you will be able to receive a $20 Amazon gift card. Join us, Pixels, and over 100,000 other users using Buzzsprout today. Buzzsprout, easiest way to podcast. And now we will return you to your show. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And welcome back, you guys, to the bullshit segment of the show. We'll just bullshit pretty much about anything. Bullshit away.
Sorry, as I said previously, guys, I have to go. I was waiting for the bullshit segment. So I wish you all a fantastic week, and I hope you have an amazing time together. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, Dom.
Take care.
All right. I guess I didn't say this on Pixels yet, but I know as of recording, if you guys listen to this when it goes live on Monday, but tomorrow as we are streaming is my graduation date with Full Sail University. So I am a college graduate. Yay. Whoa. Where's that yay sound effect? Do I have one in here? No, I don't. So this will have to do. No, it's... Oh, thank you. Thank you, DJ. So yeah, I'm all done. All done with my associates in game design. I was invited to a career fair at the end of this month. So we'll see if I will potentially join any video game developers. We shall see. And if I do, I'll be sure to let you guys know.
Pokemon or nothing.
Yeah, I'll go work at Game Freak.
No, just work for the Pokemon company.
Oh, I fucking wish.
So we can impose our ideas upon you. And never be able to talk about him because of all the NDAs.
We got Gingy trying to sneak Oshawott into every game going forward.
Shut the fuck up.
Hot take.
Oshawott, not even Samrod or Duat.
Nah, fuck that. Just Oshawott.
So we make a game, and it's all based around just Oshawott.
It's like the Pokemon Bidoof ROM hack, but it's going to be just Oshawott's.
So it's Doki Doki Oshawott Club?
Yes.
Gross.
So instead of Charmander,
indie horror.
Oshamander. And then Oshazard for an Oshawott Charizard.
And yet somehow Bidoof is still God.
You don't fuck with the beaver, man.
I punt the beaver.
It's time for me to go to bed.
I know.
All
right,
but,
I'll be right back in 1 second.
Yeah, you're good. So, DJ, should we... Do you want to announce the project that we're going to be starting? Or do you want to keep that under wraps for the moment?
Let's keep that under wraps for a moment. But stay tuned. There could be something coming up in the future of the Pixels...
Media banner.
Shenanigans? I was going to say Empire, but like...
Yeah. Yeah, stay tuned. Specifically, any potential news, the official Pixels Twitter account will be tweeted out, so pay attention to that. Yeah, or in the Pixels announcements tab, just stay tuned. Just stay tuned. Something is coming down the pipeline. Both DJ and I are very excited for, and we hope you guys will enjoy it. It's not quite ready just yet, but yeah, just stay tuned. Yeah, the results could be shocking.
I did see a very interesting video going back to Yu-Gi-Oh! From earlier.
Oh, what's that?
It was an unboxing video of this... very interesting collectible that came out of Japan.
Oh?
You're familiar with Kaiba, of course.
Mile High Club.
Do you remember what one of his notable accessories was?
No.
His briefcase.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what about it?
Konami made it real.
Oh.
It is a premium Kaiba Corp branded briefcase that costs $1,000. Inside is a 25th anniversary memorial plaque of three full super like secret rare foil original art Blue Eyes White Dragon.
Holy shit.
It's insane.
As well as underneath it, when you remove the foam, there is a set of Kaiba Corp branded dividers and an entirely holographic anime Kaiba deck.
Huh.
And then you can take the foam out, and it has liners to turn the briefcase into a card box.
Nice.
It is absolutely gorgeous.
Sweet.
Nice.
I don't think it's worth $1,000.
Oh, fuck no. Pretty.
It goes to show what... Japan going off with those collectibles, man. We never get that stuff here.
No, we never get the cool shit. But, all right, you guys, I think that'd be a show. DJ, where can people find you?
You can find me at twitch.tv/DJSkywalker716, where we stream Tuesdays through Thursdays, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Currently going through our Kingdom Hearts retrospective, which will last until... we have completed all of Kingdom Hearts in chronological order.
Nice. Odin, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @ByOdin'sBeard. That is Odin with two N's. Don't forget it. I'm never going to stop saying it. If you have any questions, concerns, or comments, hit me up on my DMs. I'm all ears.
Well, all right. You can find me on my personal Twitter at Raging Gingy. You can follow the show at PPAF Podcast. Again, like DJ and I said, pay very close attention to the Pixels Twitter. Something is coming down the pipeline that you guys will most definitely want to check out. all of the communication channels for Pixels is in the episode description. So with that being said, you guys, this has been episode 183 or Adolescent Boss Mouse Meryl of Pixels. I've been your host, Gingy.
I've been Odin.
I'm a horse that's a figment of your imagination.
All right, you guys, we will catch you next week for episode Boss Mouse. With my boy Azumarill, or 184. Bye-bye.
Bye.